Well, first of all, you've got to remember, we are not vehicles of new revelation. In other words, talk about Gideon, I'll get back to Gideon in a moment. The Lord spoke to Gideon, and Gideon was able to speak the very words of God. The Lord spoke to Moses in Scripture, those words. They are a revelation binding on all men in all ages. They convey God's truth. When you feel led of God, you may feel that binds your conscience to take a certain action or do certain things. But it can't bind anybody else's conscience. Say, for example, this church was having to decide whether to move to another site and build another church. By the way, I haven't heard anything of that. I'm taking that as a hypothetical. Okay? Now, I'm the minister of the church. I'm not really, but I'm pretending. And I come and I say to the session committee, I have a word from God, we should go. What should those men do? First thing they should do is to ask, well, has God convicted me about this? No. Has he convicted me against it? Perhaps, perhaps not. So, I must not be led by somebody else's assertion of what they say the Lord has led them to do. Because they may be misconstruing it. I cannot depend on that. There have to be other criteria then for making that decision. If the Scripture speaks to the very decision you're looking at, then there are many, many things that you don't need any leading on. You don't need to be led not to commit adultery, or not to lie, or not to cheat and steal. You don't need to be led. The Bible tells you not to do those things. You don't need to be led to turn out to church. The Bible commands you to turn out and not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. So whatever the Bible commands, that is the will of God. Whatever the Bible prohibits, that is the will of God. Now, there are many other things that are not directly commanded or forbidden in Scripture. But the principles undergirding those commandments or prohibitions will apply. And again, that will be the will of God. In the areas that are not covered by those things in Scripture, we've got to be careful about two things. Number one, our own desires. I've known this in my own life, and I've come across it in so many people. They desire something so badly, even when they pray, they've made up their minds, this is what they want so badly, that they convince themselves the Lord is leading them. But many times the Lord is doing no such thing. I've heard people advised, read the book of Providence. My advice is to read the Bible and be very careful about imagining that you understand the book of Providence, because most people end up just reading their own desires into it. When I knew this question was coming up, this is one that I actually typed out something that George Mueller wrote on this very issue. George Mueller, the man whose life of faith enabled him to open the orphanages in Bristol, to feed hundreds of children without asking for money, sometimes when there's no food on the table, there's no food in the cupboard, there was no money to buy any, mealtime was coming. Just pray. And God never once let them down. How do you know? Well, this is what he said. First, I seek to get my heart to such a state that it has no will of its own in a given matter. That's the starting point. not my will. When we're ready to do the Lord's will, no matter what the will of God may be, 9/10 of the difficulties are overcome. So, let's get our will out of it. Second, he says, having done this, I do not leave the result to feeling or simple impression. If I do so, I make myself liable to great delusions. So you don't simply go by a warm, fuzzy feeling or impression. Third, I seek the will of the Spirit of God through or in connection with God's Word. In other words, I ask God, this is a living book, Lord, speak to me out of your Word. And he says the Spirit and the Word must be combined. If I look to the Spirit alone, without the Word, I lay myself open to great delusions also. If the Holy Spirit guides us, he'll do it according to the Scriptures, never contrary to Scripture. Now, if you feel you're being led to do anything that's contrary to the book, you know you're being led not of God, but by the devil. Very important. Next, I take into account providential circumstances. At this stage, you can say they often plainly will, in connection with God's Word, indicate the will of God. Then I ask God in prayer to reveal his will to me. Now, those are the main steps. And through the prayer and the study of the Scripture, waiting on God, laying our hearts open, saying, not my will, but thy will be done, the Lord will make his way known. Now, let's say there comes to a place where you don't have any light from heaven. You still wonder, what am I to do here? If there's no moral issue involved, do this or do that, what am I to do? Remember, there's the promise of James chapter 1. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Only let him ask in faith, nothing doubting, nothing wavering. Okay. Now, I bring that to the Lord. The Lord promises to give me wisdom. And if at the end of the day I have got to weigh up all the pros and cons, lay them before the Lord, and come to a decision, as long as I've submitted my will to his will, he promises he'll give us the wisdom to do the right thing. Trying to demystify what for many young people is a very mysterious thing doesn't need to be. Now, there are some extraordinary circumstances where the Lord will give you such an overwhelming conviction. For example, when he called me to the ministry, the Lord had to do it in a way that I could not get around it, because I would have got around it. As I say, I had a fear of doing any such thing. And it had to be that in my stupidity and thickness, that the Lord had to do something that was akin to, you know, either shining a spotlight right in your eyes or hitting you over the head with a hammer. It was that dramatic. He had to do that with me. But it doesn't always happen that way. The Lord will give the conviction. Now, I'll just take one step further and say, if you're dealing with the call of God to the work of God, the Lord will give interest, inclination. The Lord will give the ability. The Lord will give the assurance in your heart, the desire you've got to do it, that you can't look God in the face and do anything else. But then something else, he will give the church, especially the eldership of the church, he will give the church the grace and the wisdom to say, this is the right thing to do. So you've got all that. Acts 13 shows that in operation. When you've got all that together, then you can be sure you've God's will. What about fleeces? But remember, Gideon is not us and we're not Gideon. As I say, you don't have a face-to-face encounter like that. Remember also, Gideon's fleece was because of his unbelief. So you've got to be careful about putting out fleeces. Also remember that this whole business about a fleece, and I realize there are times when you can feel that you're led of God to ask, Lord, do this to prove that. That's laying out a fleece. If you're so led, if you so are convinced that this is what you must do, then do it. But many people do this, and the truth of the matter is, they're just dreaming up anything. Lord, do this or do that, but where did that come from? So the very fleece itself, you've no idea even if that idea is of God. You've got to be careful about it.